Happy King Friday. Happy Friday, listeners. Welcome into the cave. So I was thinking, we run a podcast called Timeline Earth, which is in some way a statement about the shape of the Earth, the line Earth. And so I figured, let's do Earth shapes. Let's talk about that. I don't really know why I believe that the Earth is round. So I invited the most knowledgeable astronomer that I know, Steppy, to come onto the show and discuss different shapes of the Earth with me and present some different defenses for each one of those shapes. So that hopefully you guys and me, we can, as we explore the topic, make up our minds about what we really think the Earth is shaped like. Is it a disc? Is it a dome? Is it a cube? Is it flat? Is it round? Is it a hexagon? We'll find out together. Let's get into it.
First person to ever do it, I'm sure.
First person to ever do it who wasn't a part of a podcast called Peaceful Treason or any other podcast that did it before them.
So you're in the metaphorical cave right now, right?
I am. I am in the Lenten cave. I turned off my all of my social medias and did a couple of other things. I pretty much have actually turned the phone off most days. So I get text messages from people from like a day ago. Like Lee messaged me on Twitter a week ago and I just got to him today because I have that project on Twitter, as you know about. And so I have to occasionally check in on that project in order to like upload stuff, and I checked in on that and Lee was there and I was like, holy shit, man, this is like dated from a week ago. And he was just like, Happy King Friday. And I was like, gosh, Happy King Friday, man. It was like a long time ago. So I'm caved up. I don't really know what news is going on. I open up the browser like 10 minutes before we record TLE and I just check and see what happened in the past week, because I'm really pretty detached right now. It's very nice.
Honestly, like, you couldn't have picked a better time. And I feel this myself. Like, I'm not really paying attention to the news because the only stories that come up are just these like absurd, you know, fluff pieces. There's nothing actually happening other than like, oh, so, you know, some bombs got dropped. I guess that's a pretty big deal. But the heated controversies of the past year, it's like, it's all just kind of, it is what it is. Like the pieces are where they are on the chessboard.
I can't even tell you what the last story was. Like, we just did TLE. And because, as you know, we record on Wednesdays, and I have no idea what is going on in the world. Okay, so maybe this can date it for me. The last story that I remember, like the story that I would go, that happened, that's the most recent story that I saw pop up that I paid attention to, was the Gina Carano gets canceled thing. Which has got to be weeks ago at this point, right?
If I had to put a guess to that, I'd say at least 2 weeks, maybe three. But definitely a couple weeks.
Let's find out. I'm just curious because I'm 9 days ago. I was like, I don't believe that. Yeah, 2.5 weeks, yep.
Yeah.
I checked out 2.5 weeks ago, and you could tell.
No, look, nothing happened. It's like the media is just not generating any news stories of importance. They're just sort of tightening the domestic terror net, just creeping totalitarianism. But like, other than that, like, there's no event. It's just a miasma.
And it's not because this year has been boring, right? I don't feel like the year's been boring.
It's been the past year has been the least boring in my lifetime, really. And even the past month would seem exceptional in any given year, I'm sure.
That's what I'm saying. The reason why I'm saying this is because I would be nervous if that was all going away. I don't want it to get normal. You know, right. Normal's not good. Normal doesn't work. Doesn't work for the show. As you know, I don't know. My new default position on most things is I have a podcast. That's it.
Mm.
I have a podcast. You go, oh my God, did you hear about those three people being killed like in the street by those cops? I have a podcast. Mm.
You're like a culture war weapons dealer.
Some people are planets that have their own orbits around them, and some people are comfortable being moons, and I'm comfortable being a moon, just observing, just taking it in and laughing about it. But you can't it's going to run out. The day that we can't make fun of Joe Biden is coming, because he's already stopped being funny. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was funny before he got into the office, and then he's kind of very quickly stopped being funny.
Well,
and so I lost my power against him.
Yeah, I think it happened very quickly that he just became the avatar for the neoliberal world order, more so than candidate Biden was. But it's like, now that he's there, it's just like Biden is just this concept that wields power. It's not a man. It's just a focal point.
Like, boring, right? And we're like, we're just going back to Obama. At least serious topics can get taken care of. But, man, I just feel like I'm having a lot less fun already. Although I'll tell you what, I did have a lot of fun watching Trump's CPAC speech. Did you see that thing?
Yeah. I'm curious what your take on it is.
He's definitely running again. I mean, without question.
He thinks he is now. It's a long four years.
He's alive. He's gonna run again. Yeah, it's a long 4 years. But I don't know. I don't think there's any precedent to like say he goes away. That guy doesn't go away from stuff, you know. He's gonna be doing that until he dies. He's gonna be trying to be the president again.
I think it's.
He also. What I thought was interesting was no third party.
Yeah, and he explicitly like stamped out the notion of the third party. I think he said the Democrats are trying to split the vote or something, more or less like that. I don't know though. I think the moment's gone for the guy. It almost seems like he's been reduced to like this kind of celebrity caricature of his glory days already. Like now he just belongs inside of like a Hollywood square or something. Like he was doing his hit one-liners at the CPAC speech. Like but that's all the speech was, and he was like making the same like policy observations that he was making, 6 months ago or
those
a few years ago.
Yeah, but those are a lot of his speeches. After a certain point, it runs down because like the hypnosis doesn't need to keep working. So then the battery kind of dulls down, and it's just like, and we got to do that, and we got to do that, and we got to do that. And you hear it, and you go, uh huh. And then he'll go. And Hillary's a bitch, and you go, wow, I'm back.
Yeah, he drops like a China virus. The crowd's like, oh,
yeah,
China virus.
He does do that. because he is old, and he is running out of steam. I mean, he can't really be knocking it out of the park the entire speech.
I don't know. I think the magic is gone. The magic's gone.
You don't think? All right. So then, to define that. You don't think we're seeing a Trump 2024?
Oh, I He's only gonna jump in the swimming pool if he thinks he's gonna float, you know? Whoever his guy is, I don't know if it's Bannon or whatever in 4 years, but whoever his guy is, like, he's gonna do the research. And if he can pull it off, he's gonna try. But I think it's, I don't know. I'm not placing my bet on that.
We shall see. I don't know. It's gonna be a long 4 years. And honestly, I think that we are now, like, for a long time, the executive branch wasn't the focus of everyone's attention every single day. And now we're going to see a correction there, and something else will be our focus every day, 24 hours a day, talking about it constantly, arguing about it constantly. Like, there was a brief climate change period when Al Gore, that stupid movie came out that I saw four. Can I tell you, I saw that stupid movie in Inconvenient Truth, number one, 7 times.
Why?
Probably 7 times.
Why?
So one time I saw it in Florida with my mother. That was, I was like six.
Back before Florida was underwater. It's 2021, so.
It was a prophecy. It was a prophecy, yeah. It really was. That was the first time I went to go see it. Then the second time I went to go see it, it wasn't like my mom is not a Yahoo. Like, that movie was just very popular. But the second time I went to go see it, I went with my aunt, who is a Yahoo by all descriptions, a liberal Yahoo. And I went to go see it with her. She's a nurse, by the way, so you can imagine there's been videos that I've received, you know, of her doing Snapchat dances and shit like that. They're dumb. It's really miserable. And I'm not even a joke. And that, she took me to see it the second time. And then she tried to talk to me about it. And when you're 9, I don't know what age it was. When you were my age, that was not a movie you wanted to see twice. And then definitely not a movie that the second time you wanted to talk about. And then, I swear to God, Steppy, 4 times I had to watch it in a 7th grade environmental science class. 4 times.
Ugh.
The woman got the DVD. I think this had to be years later, but maybe only a year later. So in the span of 2 years, I saw Inconvenient Truth 7 times. And it was the woman, the teacher, who broke me, because she would play it. And if anybody remembers their grammar school days, if you went to grammar school, I don't know if everybody does that. The classes are 45 minutes long. So what would happen? Well, an Inconvenient Truth would start, and we'd get 45 minutes in, and then a class would end, and we would leave the class, and the DVD would be taken out. So you would think, naturally, you would think, okay, so then when we go back, we play it from where we left off, right?
Yeah.
Nope. The teacher started it again from the beginning, and we watched the same 45 minutes over and over again. 3 times. And then on the 3rd time, we actually picked it up and finished it, or whatever it was. There was only 1 time that we finished it. The woman made us watch the first 45 minutes of An Inconvenient Truth 2 or 3 times over.
Was
not because there was a message in there. She was a lazy bitch.
You think she was trying to get rubber room? Do you know, like, was this a public school?
No, this was a Catholic school.
Oh, okay. Well,
they do this everywhere.
New York City's notorious for, like, not firing teachers unless they, like, you know, like, assault a student or something. Like, it has to be, like,
it's probably that way
really bad. So, yeah. They actually have these, like, fake schools with no students that they'll send problem teachers to because they don't want to, like, sever their goodwill with the union. So if
what do you mean?
There's actually people who, like, tried really hard. Yeah, it's like it's called a rubber room. It's like a Potemkin school. It's just a bunch of teachers in a building.
Is that where the 3% child abuse rate happens?
No, I mean, well,
the rubber rooms,
there's no children, so
it's a zero well then that's the best place to put public school teachers.
Yeah.
Wait, so what is it? It's a room they just call it a rubber
they
room.
They call it the rubber just, room because I guess it's like getting sent to the crazy bin for teachers.
Just bouncing off yourself, yeah, because there's no one else in there.
Yeah, you just go there and like read books or like uh-huh. you know, write an essay
you go to
or
detention.
Whatever. Yes, it's detention where you get paid. So this is like the absolute apex of union
isn't
work.
Isn't that weird that if you get a public job, yeah, well, union, yes, but public union, way even better. Like you get paid when you fuck up, to sit down, and relax. It's amazing. It's like getting suspended. Did you ever get suspended in school?
Oh yeah, it's dope.
Isn't it amazing? It's incredible. What did you get suspended for?
Cutting class or like cutting school, which is a double whammy. Like thank you.
That doesn't even make sense. They should have you in detention for a class. Did you have detention?
Well, I think I got some of that, too. So, yeah, I had detention.
That sucked. That one was bad, detention. We actually had to stay after. That's how they got you. Some schools, I don't know if this is a Catholic school thing or if all schools try shit like this. Seems like probably a Catholic school thing. But they would be like, you have to come in on Saturday at 9 a.m. and you got to sit here for 45 minutes. That's detention.
Okay, that's actually
it
terrible.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Do you think there's room for a rubber earth?
I undoubtedly.
That was my ham-fisted segue into the topic of discussion. Steppy, I frantically texted. So I have a couple of episodes for this show that are planned. But because I have to do other shows and because I am a real overthinker of plans, I have like 10 half plans. And so I was like, you know what I want to do? I just want to relax and I want to talk about earth shapes. And so, Steppy, I've brought you on. Welcome into the crack house, by the way. I don't know if you've been in here before. Have you been here?
Yeah, I was anticipating some. Well, I haven't been here, but I was anticipating stalactites. I thought this was the cave address, but here I am in the crack house.
Well, the cave is a small room that I had to like kick this meat loving crack addict out of this room, and I have this little dusty room now. I got my candle, my Yankee candle, cedar and balsa wood. It's great stuff. Food for you if you'd like some food here. I have some gabagool and some eggs, so you can have that and just chillax in the crack house for a while and talk to me. Sir, please educate me. As you, as far as I'm aware, you're not, so we can get this out of the way, in any way affiliated with the Flat Earth Society. Is that correct or incorrect? Because there were some murmurings on the internet that you were a Flat Earth shill.
Well, you know, an important thing to note is that the Flat Earth Society is widely regarded among Flat Earthers as being disinfo. I've actually, like...
Oh, wow, really?
I've never met a person or interacted with a person. I've interacted with Flat Earthers, but I've never met one who actually says, oh, go to the Flat Earth Society. This is, like, decades old, kind of just this meme in society, and I think they don't really believe in the orthodoxy of where Flat Earth theory kind of is.
I have these notes from the flatearthsociety.org, the FAQ, to like prove that the, you know, the earth is flat. Here's all the questions.
Well, I'd be curious
so
to hear what they have to say, because
I am going to cite that.
Okay.
But, you know, you have called them out as disinfo. And so I can only at this point say, Flat Earth Society, if you're listening, please welcome on the show to dispute such claims as these. Steppy, on the other hand, is a heterodox. No, sorry, rather. Oh, no. Yeah, heterodox. Yeah. He's a heterodox flat earth thinker.
Well, I think they're heterodox at this point. Like,
you think so?
They're classical.
Wow, orthodox.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Is there a Catholic Flat Earth Society and an Orthodox Flat Earth Society? And then it was a schism many years ago. I don't know anything about the history of Flat Earth. Did you... maybe we don't want to get... Do we want to get to Flat Earth yet? I don't think we do yet. Hold on. Let me back it up. I'm very excited, as you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to give to you, Steppy, because this is, I'm sure you didn't research this, because I didn't ask you to. 10 interesting facts to prove that the Earth is round.
Okay. Bold so, claim.
We're doing Earth shapes. And so I figured it would, if we're doing Earth shapes, the most popular Earth shape theory is the round Earth theory. I mean, I guess the whatever it is. It's kind of like a football.
Yeah, technically it's an oblate spheroid.
People like that should be sent to a place where they can learn not to act that way.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10. All right, I'll get through these relatively quickly, but indulge me for a minute here. Number 10. All the other planets and stars... And by the way, also, before I start, it is very important, Steppy, that I also mention that we're going to be talking about several shapes of Earths today. Flat, round, donut, you know? And I have proofs for all of them. So it's not just the round Earth that I'm going to give us proofs for. I want my audience to hear these and make up their mind as to what shape they think that the Earth is. Personally, I believe in a line Earth, but I don't think I'm scientifically qualified to explain that one. So we're gonna go past that one. We're on the line Earth right now. If you want to know, is it real? You're listening to it. So that, just get that out of the way. I get very frustrated about this. Sorry, Steppy.
No, it's okay.
Kill the mood. number 10.
You know, as long as we're throwing shade based on Earth shapes, as we move through this, just, you know, the most beautiful contribution of the flat earthers is the insults towards people who believe in a globe Earth. I think it's important as we go through this to sort of talk about the insults that exist for each Earth shape. And perhaps if we don't know of any, maybe we come up with some.
That's not a bad idea.
So for the globe Earth believers, the flat earthers like to say globers, globe heads. I've heard globe cucks.
globe cucks.
Yeah, globe cucks. Yeah. What is it? Ballers. Yeah, ballers is more polite.
ballers.
So. You know,
jeez. Well, I mean, the Flat Earth Society has members all around the globe, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember that tweet? Do you remember that tweet that stupid Twitter account tweeted out? The Flat Earth Society tweeted, "The Flat Earth Society has members all around the globe." That's what they tweeted.
Disinfo. From their own page. Disinfo.
Yeah, it could be. All right.
So the
10.
The Globers. Yeah, let's move on to the Globers.
The Globers. 10 interesting facts to prove that the Earth is round. So number 10. All the other planets and stars that we've ever seen are round. And there's no reason to indicate that the Earth should be any different. Number 9. Time zones. Day and night happen at different times at different places on Earth. In fact, it's always day somewhere and night somewhere else. Number 8. The Coriolis effect means freely moving things like cannonballs and hurricane winds are deflected to the right, but only if you're in north of the equator. If you're south of the equator, they're deflected left. Oh my god. Number 7. Triangles. If you walk 10,000 kilometers... Oh boy, kilometers... straight along the Earth's surface, turn 90 degrees to your right, walk 10,000 more, turn right again, walk 10,000 more, you'll be back where you started. Having successfully made a triangle with three 90-degree angles, any geometry student can tell you it's impossible to do this on a flat surface. Number 6. The sun in general gets lower and lower in the sky as you travel away from the equator, and you can use this to directly measure the Earth's curvature. Number 5. The stars at night change as you go north or south. For example, Orion is upside down if you're in Australia. Number 4. Ferdinand Magellan and many people afterwards, that's a Trumpism right there. Ferdinand Magellan and many people afterwards circumnavigated the globe. That means he headed west, continued to go west, and came back to where he started, still going west. Actually, Magellan was dead, but one of the ships led by Juan Sebastian Elcano finished the journey. Number 3. The Horizon. Ships on the ocean or tall Chicago buildings viewed over Lake Michigan disappear bottom first. And you can see the sun set twice if you watch it lying down and then quickly stand up. The simple fact is, if the Earth were flat, there wouldn't be a horizon beyond which things could disappear. Number 2. During a lunar eclipse, the shadow of the Earth on the moon is curved. And number 1. We know that the Earth is round because we have photographic evidence. That's a weak one for number 1. I personally was most impressed by the triangle one. Because that if that is true, I'm freaking out. Because that doesn't sound true. Because it just doesn't sound like enough. You know what I mean? It just doesn't sound like
well,
enough.
Well, it is true distance. on a... You know, in a mathematical sense, on a sphere. So the question it becomes...
Can you recreate that?
Do you accept the reliability of these measurements in practice?
But yeah, I'm not
qualified. If you do embed an equilateral triangle onto a sphere at the equator, it does have 390 degree angles.
That's so weird. I don't like that kind of stuff. That's magic, probably. So there's your proofs for why Earth is round. Now, again, if you're feeling a little triggered because perhaps you don't believe in a round Earth, you think that I'm working for the man, I've already sold out into the cave for this long, and they're paying me to tell you that the Earth is round. I will offer proofs from official sources for all the other shapes that we talk about, except, I guess, Flat Earth Society has been called into question. But other than that, and I also have one document at the end of this that's going to blow your mind. Steppy, you in particular, at the very end, from reformation.org.
Okay. So
we'll talk about that at the very end. But yeah, that's round Earth. I was going to say, maybe it's giving too much away, but Steppy, are you a round Earth proponent? Are we coming out as any particular kinds of proponents of shapes?
Well, honestly, what I consider myself is... A skeptic of anything that I can't understand can't understand or can't verify using my own senses and my own logic. So what I am is pretty much an agnostic earther of any of these theories. I think the standard globe model, none of the proofs that are offered are the kill shot that these people think they are when they're coming from like proven liars in so many other regards.
Yeah.
There are a lot of phenomena that you give them like a flat earth proof and these like skeptic websites will just draw this really confusing diagram and say like, well, it's a mirage. And if there's no elegance to it. I'm just not convinced by a lot of it. And it's like, well, I can't verify half of what you're saying. So I don't know what you're saying. So that's a long way to say,
yeah.
I'm an appreciator of the thought process that the flat earthers go through. I think some of the questions they ask are very powerful and interesting, and I have no love for the scientific establishment.
No, that's what makes it really hard to accept facts generally, is that you kind of hate the people who come up with a lot of them.
Well, and half of what you said, like, so a lot of this discussion, it's like, and you can see it with like the past year with the medical community interacting with like everyone else in society. It's like, these people are incapable of actually understanding what their critics are saying. Like, it's like, well, you're not me, so you must be saying something insane. So what I think you're saying is this, and they construct this straw man, which they dissect. So like several of the points you raised are actually not incompatible with claims that flat earthers make about their model of the Earth. Like Magellan is fully compatible with the standard Gleason flat Earth map, which is North Pole at the center, a flat circle, and a ship can circumnavigate
the disc by earth. Yes.
But yeah, by circumnavigating in a large disc east to west, that's perfectly possible.
Yes.
So that's that, totally. Like that bullet point is like, okay, and like that doesn't.
This is very interesting. I also have cube Earth proofs that are kind of a lot like that, where a lot of them are just listen to this. Why hasn't the government said it was a cube? They say it's round because it sounds better. Well, there you go. Why hasn't anyone ever taken a photo of the Earth that proves that it's real? This is a great one. The astronauts used wide-angle lenses to make the Earth seem round. That's pretty good.
Wait, this is the cube Earthers? The cube Earthers?
This is cube Earth. Yeah. This is cube Earthers. Yeah. Why doesn't water run off the Earth? The same reason it doesn't run off a sphere Earth.
Well, that's actually a pretty good gotcha.
Why is the North Pole colder than the equator? Have you ever gone outside in winter? Duh.
What?
This one is great. I like these. These are very good. How come the travel time by air from South America to New Zealand via the polar route is shorter than the travel going north first and then south again? The Earth is a cube and pilots cut corners. There you go. That's pretty definitive to me. There's your cube Earth. We've gotten that out of the way. I had to get that out there, cube Earth theory. It's very... Cube Earth to me seems like it's just like, yeah, I mean, the Earth is round and then it's a cube. What's the difference? And it's hard for me to disagree with that. You know what I mean?
I guess surely someone living on one of the edges or corners would... have a very interesting perspective on the rest of the cube Earth.
Maybe that's where all the mountains are.
Oh, that's perfect.
Well, yeah, there's your... All right, so we'll lay round Earth to bed and the subsequent cube Earth, because those are both, like, again, you can crush a cube into a round shape, you know? So whatever. It could be anything. But let's move on to the meat of the discussion. Let's do flat Earth. And now, Steppy, are there multiple... iterations of flat Earth,
like multiple flat Earth maps or models?
Yes.
There are, but they're real. Like, if you just pick a random person who identifies as a flat Earther out of a bag, it's like 99% that they're like gonna have a pretty similar. Like, there is an orthodoxy. There's like a map called the Gleason map, which is it's just a it's if you imagine you poked a hole in the South Pole of the Earth and then you carefully unfolded it until it was a flat disk. So it's just like it's a disk Earth. All the latitude lines are rings around the North Pole at the center. So that's the standard conception of what it looks like.
So is the ice wall and in the that South model Pole?
Yeah, so Antarctica in that model is an ice wall of like a narrow strip of land, not a giant contiguous like blob of a continent that forms an ice wall around the whole thing and is the boundary between the Earth and the firmament, which is either a dome or some kind of atmospheric barrier of some kind that actually holds in the contents of the Earth like a snow globe. So obviously this is an intensely creationist conception of an Earth. Like the overlap between flat earthers and people in like the Abrahamic faiths is 100%. Like,
would you call that flat, but also disc, but also dome?
Well, it's all of those, right? Like, it is, the actual the surface of the Earth is flat underneath a dome. Since the flat surface is embedded in three-dimensional space, it's technically a disc, not a circle.
So, like, in the idea, so the dome is space facing inwards. And then what's on that, like, is there no outside of the dome? You know what I mean? Like, is there, in this conception, is space not real? Or is, you know what I mean?
It's a light show, basically.
It's a light show.
It may be real beyond it, but as far as, like, our perception of it, like, it might as well be a light show on the surface. Maybe the objects are in the firmament. Maybe they're beyond the firmament. Just lights of some kind. They're not like the, you know, I don't think this is where you get sort of into the speculator or the okay. speculation aspect of it. Like, it, you know, people don't really know in the flat earth community in this model what the lights are. They're just visible on the firmament. It's important to talk about how the sun works in this model. Like, being a heavenly light, it's either embedded in the firmament or beyond the firmament, and is just circling around. So, like, the whole, like, the heavens in this model is a clockwork machine. The sun is just the main light. Now, like, how do you have sunrise and sunset on a flat earth? Wouldn't you always see the sun? That's a, you know, very natural question that comes up after hearing this, because it seems bonkers. But the fact that there's an atmosphere inside of, like, the actual contents of the dome, actually does make it so that the sun is not always visible, because you can replicate this, but effectively imagine we're standing on like a giant table and I have a flashlight and I'm pulling it away from you on the table, right? Actually, eventually, if it's a big enough table, you will cease to see the flashlight. Really? You can replicate this experiment. You know, one good website that sets up a lot of these experiments, or not website, it's a YouTube channel. It's called like DITRH, Down in the Rabbit Hole. The guy's name is David Weiss, and he's like a pretty thorough dude about a lot of these like questions, and is actually very good at like setting up experiments with like stuff like this, but he also does like observational experiments of the sun with like long range lenses.
Is the guy like a flat like earther, see... or is he just?
Yeah, he's a flat earther.
Oh, okay, nice. Yes.
But like, here's something crazy, right? You can see a standard sunset, with your naked eye, and you'll be like, "Yes, the sun is gone," and it's like over the ocean, right? Because all these experiments always have to happen over the ocean, because in either model, either it's flat or it's the ideal curvature. So like the globe people are happy, the flat people are happy. Like the ocean is where you want to do this.
Yeah.
But if like, okay, the sun just set over the ocean. Now you take out your zoom camera lens, and this guy has done this so many times with like time lapses, and you pop that on and the sun goes away eventually, but you can see it for a little longer. Like, and then if you zoom in more, you can see it again, and then it goes away. So it is like not, although it looks like it went like behind the horizon to you, it actually like doesn't seem to actually like. There's all you can replicate that effect at greater and greater distances.
Hmm. Interesting.
So it's an atmospheric phenomenon, according to the flat earthers. Now, according to like the globers, it would be like
globe cock.
Yeah, the globecocks, it's like, yes, there's an atmospheric phenomenon, but also it is going behind, and eventually you would cease to see it if you had a good enough camera to keep zooming in on it. Like, it would eventually truly set.
Hmm, okay.
So this is like, who do you trust, right? This is the questions that like I always get into, where it's like, you know, I simply don't know, and I find this fun.
Let's find out if we trust them. So let me go to the flatearthsociety.org. FAQ page. First question, are you serious? Yes. Second question, are you controlled opposition? No. Is the Flat Earth Society connected to any religion? Well, almost every religion shares a common worldview of a dome-shaped earth. We have no official connection with any established religions. However, it would be impossible to deny the strong historical ties with Christianity by past presidents of the society. What is some of the evidence that you have? There are several readily apparent proofs of the planet's flatness. The horizon always rises to meet eye level, which is impossible on a ball Earth. The surfaces of bodies of water have been shown to be level. If the Earth was a globe, this would not be the case. One almost has to ask, is there any real evidence that Earth is a globe? I like that. What about pictures from space? There are a plethora of resources available that shows that we can't trust photographic evidence from organizations such as NASA. Oh, so that moon landing was a hoax. Yes. Some of the evidences that these should be discounted include constant changes in their depiction of Earth, inconsistent lighting with the moon footage, and other irregularities, which are discussed at depth with those who believe the moon landing was a hoax. So they distance themselves from the moon hoaxer people. Like, they don't just come straight out and say, yes, the moon landing was a hoax. They actually say, are discussed in depth by those who believe the moon landing was
a hoax.
That's
crazy, because you have to believe it was a hoax if you're a flat earther, right? Like,
it is interesting, because you think that the flat earthers would just absorb, you have to be a moon landing hoaxer in order to, you know what I mean? In order to believe flat earth. You know what I mean? Like, they'd have to believe that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe the dome is bigger than the, I don't know.
Well, I don't know if the Flat Earth Society believes in a dome. So maybe they do.
Maybe we'll find out. Let's find out. What about astronauts? Most flat earthers think astronauts have been bribed or coerced into their testimonies. Some believe they have been fooled or are mistaken. Why would people lie about the shape of the Earth? There are three common explanations for this. But in the end, without toppling the planar conspiracy, there is no way to know. Number one, to maintain legitimacy. During the Cold War, we faked the moon landing. See? So they come out and they say it there. Okay. Shortly after, they realized the reason they could not reach the moon was due to the flatness of the Earth. They were stuck in a lie, and they had to continue to lose legitimacy of our governments. That's what would do it. That's what would do it. Even today, we still hold on to this lie due to the role science plays in our ruling government. Yeah. All right, let me finish. Two, to hide the truth of the Bible. And three, to gain power and money by siphoning off the space budgets and denying the world resources to the Antarctic, they gained considerable amounts of power and wealth. They didn't take the stance that the moon landing was fake. They just said there are three common explanations.
Mm.
So they still didn't take the stance, because that second one was like to hide the truth of the Bible. So this is a religious organization. No, that's just they're saying that's a common explanation that's made. Damn. So they still don't want to come out and say it. Those are the three explanations.
It's amazing that they're like pulling punches after adopting like the most unpopular label they can.
Very odd that they don't just go, yeah, we believe.
Yeah, like I'm a flat earther, but I'm a moderate flat earther.
Next question. What does the map of the Earth look like then? The disc. That's what they say. So they got the disc here too. I don't know if they believe in a dome over the disc or if the disc just floats in space, but it doesn't say. How can one circumnavigate the Earth? Circumnavigation of the Earth is simply traveling in a circular path around the North Pole, like you said. What about the seasons? The radius of the sun's orbit around the Earth's axis symmetry varies throughout the year, being the smallest one in the summer in the northern annulus and largest in the summer in the southern annulus. So there you go. I don't know. If you know science, that makes sense to you, I guess. Can't you see the curvature from an airplane? I like this one. No. Even if the Earth was a globe, this would be an impossibility. We have testimonies from several pilots saying that no curvature can be seen at commercial airline heights. It has been suggested that airplane windows serve to distort the view of passengers and make them believe they see a curvature when indeed there is none. And this was likely a ploy by early airline companies to sell more tickets.
Wait.
I hope that that's
true. So I've never seen the curve in an airplane. And, like, this is...
Neither have I.
Like, I just never thought, like...
I never looked.
Airplanes flew to that altitude. Like, even within, like, the globe model. So it's like, I don't know. I was never looking for it. But it's like, it always looks flat.
Yeah, to me, again, this is one of those things where my whole view of... reality wouldn't be interesting anyway. It's like if the Earth was flat, if it was round, my whole view of reality means like it doesn't doesn't matter. Like I'm in my own head. It doesn't really matter what's going on.
Yeah, isn't
that
funny?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It seems like you see all these like passionate like skeptics just like dunking on all these flat tards and all these people being like, "Hey, globe cuck," but like I really don't care. I don't care at all.
It doesn't matter because they're talking about something that happened already, the creation of the Earth. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like we're here, so however we're here, whatever shape it is, I'm kicking. Yeah, I'm doing fine. I don't desire.
And it's flat.
No.
It's flat to me. Like, I'm an ant. But, like, to my problem I'm going to solve, like, I'm not going to go build a 60-mile bridge in my life. Nope. Like, it's just flat to me.
Yep. I think, yeah, it must matter to people who need to go and build 60-mile bridges. Well, good. I hope that they figured it out and they can build their bridges. I guess. Did Eratosthenes... Let me try this again. Eratosthenes. Did Eratosthenes not prove that the Earth was a globe? No. Actually, Eratosthenes assumed the Earth was a globe to calculate the circumference of the Earth. Taoists performed the same experiment much earlier and came to the conclusion that the Earth was flat. This was independently conceived much later in the 1800s by followers of Sam Robotham. Okay. I'll give you a few more here, and then we can get on to... Oh, God, we also have to talk about Hollow Earth. Holy shit. Oh, my God.
One more, right. Best one.
Best one? Okay. Okay, here we go. What is the dome? The firmament. The vault of heaven. The area where we live on the flat earth is encased within a dome, or firmament. In some texts, it's also referred to as the vault of heaven. Found in a surprising amount of religions and societies, the idea can be traced to the Babylonian, Sumerian, Egyptian, and Christian worldviews, and likely many even more. Even some Native American tribes were said to see the night sky like a tent. As a scientific explanation, it serves very well. It was, after all, only with Copernicus that we started to question the idea of the firmament. By then, we already knew quite a bit about calculating and predicting the movement of the heavens. Oh, that is a weird... That's an interesting point. We didn't really need to know that it was... I guess. Whatever. I don't really believe anything they say, you know what I mean? So I'll leave it be. Okay, fine. There you go. That was my last proof. Are we doing Hollow Earth?
Sure, yeah.
So where does the Hollow Earth come from? Apparently, the Hollow Earth is a theory that stems from Buddhist tradition. I don't know if it goes back to Hindu tradition. I'm not going to claim that it does. But there are some Buddhist traditions that claim this. Specifically up in the Himalayas. Whatever tradition is up there, it claims this. What does the Earth look like, you ask? Well, in this conception... It's a crust on the outside and at the top and sometimes bottom. I remember hearing this from a guy who came in a plane out of the Hollow Earth, and he was wearing this weird leather helmet, and he went on this weird TV show on YouTube, and he explained how he was born in the Hollow Earth and how he came out of it in an airplane and how he was here to like explain the Hollow Earth to us. This is real, and I'll get the video.
Was that the episode where you were very in the cave when you were recording?
Yeah, it was real bad. Yeah, that's why I don't want to do too much of this too quickly. But yeah, like for all the new listeners, there's also the Hollow Earth theory, and this guy came out of the inner earth in a plane with a leather helmet, and he explained like He-Man, and he explained about how he was born there and how days run differently there and weeks run differently, and they live in a perfect communist society, and how they look like regular people except they're taller and more beautiful, except this guy was ugly as hell. And you know, he explained it by saying that when he was a baby he came out kind of like Superman, so he ate, you know, earth nutrition instead of hollow earth nutrition, and the hollow earth Agarthan nutrition is much better, so people are better looking, more beautiful, blah 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 blah. So he had all of this, and how the earth basically looks is there's a crust hole on one side or the other. Inside is this giant generator power machine that holds everything together, and there's this brilliant beautiful society on the inside. And that was the modern hollow earth theory. Now, Hollow Earth is oddly the most niche of the ones that we're going to talk about, or that we have talked about now. So there is no FAQ page, but I'm sure if you can go and contact a Himalayan monk, they might be able to explain the traditional myth to you. So I welcome you to go and do that and send me an email if you contact a Himalayan monk. Get him on the show. I have a lot of things to talk to a Himalayan monk about, actually. But there you go. There's my Hollow Earth. There's that one.
So, yeah, I think this is an interesting one because as far as the models of the Earth go. This one is most rooted in mythology, culture, and folklore compared to the others. Like, if you start digging into Hollow Earth, you immediately get into, like, the city of Agartha, and here's these eyewitness accounts of, like, these people who, you know, it went on expeditions that, like, went awry and, like, stumbled their way into Hollow Earth. Like, it seems to me that, like, this is almost like UFOlogy for, like, Norwegians. Because, like, Norway... Norway is, like, very well situated for Arctic exploration, if you look at it on the map. And two of the biggest Hollow Earth accounts that come up, actually three. So there's two of Norwegian sailors that allege to have gone to Hollow Earth and interacted with, like, people there. And one of them was this guy in, I think, the 1800s or maybe early 1900s who, like, said that he, like, you know, effectively, like, wrote like an ethnography of his interactions with the Hollow Earthers. There's a book about it. I forget his name. Another is a sailor who got lost and, like, came back, but he, like, saw some stuff while he was there. And then the other is Admiral Byrd, and this is, like,
Richard Byrd.
Yes, this is, like,
that's the one,
like,
I
a normie acceptable story, except for the Hollow Earth, like, extrapolations on it. But effectively, like, this guy in the I think it was, like, the 1920s, he
47
was it when he did his first flight?
I don't know if it was 1926.
It says on Wikipedia he did his first flight where he claims he went to the North Pole. Now, like, if you read his journals, apparently, like, he went to the North Pole and then he said he kept going further north, and he's very specific about, like, not saying that he was then, like, going around, like, the Arctic, like, you know, he wasn't continuing straight in the way you would think about it on a globe. He uses this language about further north. And, like, I think it's just a very confused account is probably how it ended up being written this way. But the Hollow Earthers are like, what he did was then start, like, piloting into the hole. And then he, like, climbed back out when he came back.
Where north truly points. Yes, that's right. That's one of the things, is that the generator at the center is where north is truly pointing to. So if you are in the Hollow Earth, north is inward. That's another thing that this guy from the plane with the stupid leather helmet was saying. Same thing.
Yes, like, effectively, like, weird. They say that if you imagine, like, you're eating a soft-boiled egg with the top off, like, he went around the outside of the egg and started flying into the egg, which is how he got extra, more north.
Admiral Byrd's account is very interesting. People should go read that one. I think it was called, the one where he got lost was called Operation High Jump. Pretty sure. That was in 47. So he'd been doing this for a long time. Now, let's get on to the final theory that I want to quickly present. Perhaps the most reasonable of all theories. So, for future notice, I'm going to read everything that this guy wrote. Guy Valrog, who was at the time this was published. All right. Originally, in 2008, on a flatearthsociety.org thread, a guy named Dr. Rosenpenis... posted, I postulate that the Earth is shaped like a donut. The ice wall, known as the Antarctic, and the Arctic meet in the middle and are essentially the same. The equator is on the outer extremity of our donut planet. What do you think? Now, there was... Eventually, it was locked. The thread was locked, but not before 100,000 people saw it. And not before lots of arguments and discussions came from it. But the matter sat from between 2008 for 4 years until 2012. Obama had a handle on it. When a man named Valrog posted, same website, by the way, flatearthsociety.org, donut-shaped Earth. This is how it goes. This has received 50,000 views. Should get more. Go check it out. I was wondering how a theory like Flat Earth, F-E, he writes, theory gets formed, and I came to the conclusion that someone must have thought of the original idea, and then it must have been followed by a long series of people pointing out flaws, and then readjusting the theory, or thinking of new ideas, to iron out the flaws of the theory. So, I thought it might be fun if we emulated that here. I will state my theory, and then we can adjust it out by pointing out the flaws and see if we can think of arguments that will counteract the flaws. I have a theory that the Earth is in fact shaped like a torus, a donut shape. However, light is curved, so we cannot tell. I will add an FAQ to this topic, which will document any flaws and solutions discussed in this thread. Now, discuss! By the way, whenever you see TE, it means torus Earth. FAQ. So they managed to come up with 11 quick points, this guy Vaurog. Let's read them, and we'll see, Steppy, in the end, which theory you're most persuaded by. Number one. Why has the hole in the center of the torus not been discovered? Light bends and follows the curvature of the torus, making the hole unseeable. Number two. If light is curved so that we can't tell, then why would anyone suspect that the Earth is shaped like a torus? Logically, it is possible for a torus-shaped Earth to form. See question 6. We'll get to that. So we cannot rule out the possibility of the Earth being shaped like a torus. Therefore, the hypothesis must be considered as a potential model. Number 3. How does light curve? Radio waves are reflected by the atmosphere. Hence, we don't need to set up several towers to transmit radio waves across long distances. Light waves are also reflected in a similar way. So when we look across, the light diminishes as it travels, and by the time it reaches the atmosphere, it has diminished enough to be reflected. The light will then hit another corner of atmosphere and so on and so forth, curving every time. This gives the impression that the Earth is flat, or has a slight curvature. So how come I can look up and see the stars? Wouldn't the light be reflected back at me? That was question 4, by the way. I don't know if I read that. When you look up, you are decreasing the amount of light traveling between to reach the atmosphere, so it diminishes less. And in these cases, it is not diminished enough to be reflected by the atmosphere, and hence, we can see the stars.
What?
are you getting this yet? This is very, it's very powerful stuff. Number 5. So if I stand on the surface in the middle of the TE and look up, why can't I see the opposite side of the torus? When you stand in the middle of the TE and look up, the light passes through the first atmosphere it reaches. However, by the time it reaches the second atmosphere, the one to re-enter the atmosphere of the TE, it has diminished enough to be reflected and then gets reflected into space. And so you see space. Do you understand so far? If there's a hole, the light has to leave the planet and then go through a small amount of space in the hole and then come back into the planet through another atmosphere. Are you understanding that? Because that it didn't get me at first. Does that make sense?
I understand the okay. words in the sentence, but
okay,
man.
Okay, good. All right. 6. Why have no Arctic explorers fallen into the hole? Gravity acts as it does on the RE model, that is the round Earth model, and people are attracted to large masses, which is an amazing sentence. Imagine a donut. Imagine a jam donut. Gravity acts towards the jam, which is a really inconvenient way to talk about it because there's no hold jam donuts that I know of. If you can find a hold jam donut, great. Perfect.
Yeah, that's... Wait, you know what is this? Like, someone fills the jelly donut, but it's a ring-shaped jelly donut?
Yeah, that doesn't exist. Yeah, it doesn't exist. If it did, I would love that, but it doesn't exist. Question 7. How can we have night and day? Answer. Lay a torch horizontal on a table and turn it on. Now, I think he means flashlight. Yeah. Let me read that again, because I guess this is a British guy or something. Lay a flashlight horizontal on a table and turn it on. Now get a donut and place it on its side, with the hole perpendicular to the torch. The side that is illuminated by the torch is in day. Over 24 hours, the donut performs one complete revolution. Spin it halfway round. This signifies the passing of 12 hours. Now, the side that was in the day is facing from the torch and is in the night. The side that was in night is now facing the torch and is in the day. Question 8. Well, then how do we have seasons? in the same way that the RE does. The Earth does not follow a perfectly circular orbit. It is slightly elliptical. Also, the ellipse is slightly shifted so that one of the shorter edges is closer to the sun than in the opposite edge. Over 1 year, it completes one orbit. Say the Earth starts on a short side closest to the sun. This is the summer, the hottest season for obvious reasons. 3 months later, one quarter of an orbit, it goes to one of the longer sides and is slightly further away, entering autumn. Another 3 months, and it is at a point where it is the furthest away, in the middle of winter. And another 3 months, it's a bit closer, and we're in spring. Further 3 months, and we're back where we started. Question 9. How was the TE formed? It is possible for two objects to orbit each other, Google binary stars. So this means that you can have two objects moving around one another in an orbit, but there's nothing in the center of the orbit, as their own masses provide the weight for the centripetal force of the gravity, which causes them to move in a circular-ish motion. Now, it is also possible to have three objects orbiting one another, or four, or five. Now, the TE was formed when large amounts of objects orbited each other like this. As the time went on, their gravity pulled in more space rocks and dust, and the shape grew and eventually became to fully form Taurus. Number 10. Why do we not know of any other Taurus-shaped planets? This is because the condition for a TE to form, several objects orbiting one another in a rather large mass, with a rather large empty mass in the middle, is quite unlikely to occur, and it becomes much more unlikely each time more objects are required to orbit it. This makes Taurus-shaped planets very rare, and so we've yet to discover one so far. And finally, where are the North and South poles in this model? Place your donut on its side. The side that touches the table is the South Pole. The side that touches the table, the other side, is the North Pole. That's your donut wow. Earth theory. Wow. Right there. It's definitive. It's pretty definitive. I mean,
some of those were decent. I actually think the sunrise and sunset explanation was pretty solid. What do you think about the core assumption given at the beginning of the whole thing that scientific models are just a world-building exercise between people suspending disbelief? Yes, that seemed to be the gist of it. I actually thought that was hilariously... That's true as hell. That's absolutely true.
But he reads it... this is really so interesting, is... because this is clearly a guy who doesn't believe in flat Earth, probably, or donut Earth, or anything like that, because, yeah, the way that he speaks at the very beginning, I'll read it again, because you're right, that is fascinating. I was wondering how a theory like flat Earth gets formed, and I came to the conclusion that someone must have thought of an original idea, and then it became followed by a long series of people pointing out flaws and then readjusting the theory or thinking out new ideas to iron out the flaws of the theory. Which is, that's so interesting, because it's, yeah, you're right, that's not at all That's not at all how you think it would work, but that's kind of just how all theories work.
Right, it's people the guy like just collectively upon how
theories work.
Right, it's like this egregore that like people are kind of pushing in the same direction with little bits and pieces, and that's then they great. Just kind of all agree on something it converged to. Like I don't know, that's better than his like donut theory, that little snippet.
That's true. It's very revealing too. Steppy, thank you very much for coming on the show. Do you have any plugs, very briefly?
No. Whatever, show notes.
Check out Boys Town. He wrote a great article. Do that.
Yeah.
You're not inspired by it. You're not inspired. Plug yourself. You have to give a plug. You have to plug yourself.
I'm so tired of plugs.
Fine. All right, I like that, to be honest. I'm going to say that the next time I'm asked about plugs. Just everybody listen for that. I'm just going to say, I'm so tired of plugs. I tire of these games. All right, I'm ending it. Thank you, Steppy.
Yeah, thanks for having me.